before we start, a word of explanation. I've written 475 notes. 477.
Yay.
About two-thirds or three-fourths of which are noting for numbers about the different city improvements and civilization and different, like, block parks in Portland and utter nonsense. And the other rest of my notes are this gigantic theory of everything I've been working on. And is my note going to, like, pop up on here somehow, or do I have to log out and re-log in, or...
Why don't you just
search
for
actually?
Oh. Okay. Oh.
How many? Yeah,
what's that box with the cursor in it for?
His
interface. Oh, it's not his theme.
Oh, whatever. Okay. This is my note. It's called Error Correction, a Cross-Cultural Methodology. How it got such a long, confusing title, I don't know. And it's basically, it gets down to what I think is kind of the basic problem of being human that I've known since I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. There's been rules for the past 5 or 6,000 years about how people should interact with themselves, with the world, how to relate with nature. And yet you look around and you see people with all these rules and all these guides, I don't want to say rules because that sounds authoritarian, all these guides, people don't always relate to each other and relate to nature well. In fact, people seem to have a very bad history of doing that. And since I was 6 years old, it occurred to me, you know, people know how to be nice to each other. People know how to say please and thank you. So why is there so many problems? And I'm 23 years old now, and this is the result of 17 years of me thinking about this and different answers that have came to me. And the first answer, and it's kind of the most simplest answer, and the one that probably is most predominant in American society, is it's a matter of technical error, such as the bus whose doors, for some reason, do not open. And that the reason that we as people live in the way we do is because of many, many little tiny errors that are the linchpin of the system, and just because the door cannot open, the bus cannot move. Or a lack of physical goods. You know, we have a world where we're told to share and, you know, be good, but the truth is, if there's not enough food, when you need to get some food, your brother has to be your enemy. And that's a simple way of pointing it, but it's not always that reductionist. It's not always a matter of not having enough food. Or enough physical resources. It can be a different type of resource that people don't have. In America today, a lot of that is education. And it's not just education in the sense of knowing skills. It's education in the way of having a worldview, in that the system in America today looks at a lot of people as maybe not having the technical ability to understand the worldview of America. And those people, whether they be Montana rednecks or street gangs, are responsible for all our problems, which is kind of weird, because when you look at it, Montana rednecks with guns and street gangs with guns make up a very small percentage of society, but some, you know, it's the fault of some little group gumming up the wheels of the system, because the system itself...
Noters with guns!
Yes, yes. I have a knife, but not with me.
Tell it, brother.
Because the system itself, in a technical error system, looks at that as the means of social error.
No.
The system doesn't exist at all. The system is transparent, and the people in it are free to do what they want. And it's a matter of technical error. And that's the system that Marxism is based on, dialectical materialism. That's what behaviorist psychology is based on. That's what I think American society today is based on a lot of that. Now, the second means of error correction is a revolutionary paradigm, where the system itself is flawed. And no matter what the people in the system are doing, they can't get anywhere because the system is flawed. And so you have to change the paradigm. And that can be a cultural paradigm, a social paradigm, blah, 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 all the words that you'd use, you know, economic paradigm, blah, blah, blah. And so the reason that we have to suffer is because in some way our paradigm is not up to snuff. And that, I think, you know, in communist societies, that's obviously maybe their means of error correction is that the paradigm is wrong. In a lot of ways, in American society today, American society changed its paradigm 40 years ago, and it's been changing the paradigm for 40 years, and a lot of people will think that the reason why American society is not working today is because there's still people who have not accepted the new paradigm, and that's where we get the clash between the left and the right, is a lot of people on the left believe the American liberal paradigm is good, you know, post-60s Cultural Revolution, but there's these right-wing Christians, and they're the ones gumming up the works. I don't know if that's true. And that's the second paradigm. That's the second reason why we suffer. We don't have the right system. The third reason why people suffer and make mistakes is because a Manichaeistic worldview. There's good people, and then there's evil people. And I'm not pointing at Kenny on purpose, sorry. And the Manichaeistic worldview, very prevalent through history from, well, the actual days of Manichae. What was Manichae's real name? The Persian guy who thought it Manichaeistic. I think his name was Manichae. It was Bill. That's right.
Bill Manichae.
Bill down at the pool hall.
Bill the Persian.
Yeah.
Persian Bill.
And Manichaeistic worldview was, of course, the medieval church with the Crusades. Catholicism, the civilized world, Muslims, pagans, heathens, heretics. And the reason why Christian society was not successful was because there was an outside force that was evil that was going against it. And of course, that didn't end with medieval Europe and the Catholic Church.
How'd you memorize this whole write-up?
Following there. I memorized all 477 of my write-ups.
Even the newt ones?
Yeah. The Manichaeistic paradigm, of course, after that it was, you know, and I'm not saying the Manichaeistic paradigm is wrong. I think that, you know, when we had the situation where we had Nazism, yes, that was a Manichaeistic situation. The main cause of evil in the world was something like Nazism. Of course, that was also the Crusades was, or not the Crusades, I already mentioned Crusades. Cold War, Manichaeistic paradigm. American society itself was flawless. There was an evil force. I'm not saying that it actually was, but I'm saying that that was the basis of their belief in why things were not perfect. And today we have the war on terrorism, Manichaeistic evil force. And the reason why the evil force is evil in a Manichaeistic paradigm, depending on its sophistication, can be, it's actually controlled by supernatural evil. In noche los malos ejercitos de Shaitan no juegan.
I'm sorry, what was that?
In noche los malos ejercitos de Shaitan no juegan. That's the only Spanish phrase I know. or that the people are uncontrollably greedy or, you know, whatever, lustful, or just that they're evil for its own sake. And of course, that's not always against a large external threat. A Manichaeistic system can be against drug users, sexual deviants, whatever those are considered, and I mean that both in the sense of oppressed groups and people who really are predators of one sort or another. But that's a Manichaeistic paradigm. There's an external evil force that causes problems. The fourth paradigm is kind of U-masked. It's took me a while to figure this out. I was on, it's UMass 777, in fact. I was on Mount Tabor when I realized this a couple years ago. And this is kind of like the Manichaeistic paradigm, because it believes in evil, but it's not an army of evil. And it's not evil in, like, a bad guy way. It's like this radical wrongness in the world. Like, there's a structure to the world that actually broke at one point. And this is actually, for a long time, I wouldn't talk about this. I consider this secret, but I don't want to tell anybody because it fucked me up to realize this. I don't want to hurt anybody. And you see this in a lot of, you see this in existentialist philosophers, see this in Kierkegaard, maybe in Sartre. I read the entire Being and Nothingness when I was 15. I can't remember anything, but it might have something about that. The only part of Being and Nothingness I remember is the part where he says that water skiing was more sexually fulfilling than snow skiing. It's actually in Being and Nothingness. But that's off. That's OT, off topic. Am I really that funny, or are you just that drunk?
Okay.
okay.
Wonderful.
Okay. And I'm sorry to be making this so funny, because this is really serious.
Blow our minds. Quickly.
Okay. There's this paradigm that there's a radical wrong, that the world is actually broken, and it's not broken in any way. It's like you could get rid of every error in the world, and there would still be this brokenness, this, you know, nauseatingly bad thing about the world. The teachings of the Ari, the Rabbi Yitzhak Liria, who lived in the Safed region of the Sea of Galilee circa 1500s, was the first person to enunciate this. The world was broken. The world was broken because the Jews were kicked out of Israel. And the Jews were kicked out of Israel because the world was broken. And when the Jews reclaim Israel, the world will get fixed. I still think some of them believe this, which...
Did you pipelink that to circular logic?
No, it's not logic. It's divine revelation. And actually, one of the ways I realized that this, you know Buddhist teaching, dukkha. What does dukkha mean? It means radical suffering and wrongness. It's a bad theme, though. And actually, one of the ways, after all this, you know, cross-cultural philosophy, one of the ways I realized this is talking and listening to rap music. I mean, seriously, people will listen to, like, rap music and think, oh, those are some guys bragging about how big their dicks are. And, you know, that's not what it's... Listen to, like, Mobb Deep, Hell on Earth. They're talking about crime, but they're talking about its hellishness, and they're not talking about, like, ooh, I have a gun. You know, and this revelation, you'll see this in a lot of rap music. I mean, it's diaspora thinking. You are in a... It's not... The world around you is broken. You're dispersed from where you should be. You see, Mobb, life is hell on earth. I don't have to tell you who the enemy is. It's right in front of your eyes. I don't know who Mobb Deep is talking about when he says it's right in front of your eyes. But it's like, you know there's something wrong with the world, but you can't pick it out. You try to pick it out. You look around. You say, oh, it's Bush in the White House. That's what's wrong with the world. And you pick it out, and you perfect, and it's right in front of your eyes, but you can't point at it, even though I'm pointing right now, here. And a lot of that is listening to rap music and then studying existentialist philosophy and studying, you know, esoteric texts. There's something broken with the world. And after I laid that on you, I'm going to, you know, and for a long time I thought that was the last word. Oh, shit, there's something broken with the world. I was very depressed by that, as you can believe. And then I realized, I started reading Confucian texts, and I realized there's another fifth option, and that's this kind of a notion of cultivation and growth organically. And a lot of people think Confucianism is a do-this, don't-do-that religion, that Confucianism is a set of rules, and you follow those rules, and everything goes fine, which really isn't what Confucianism is about. I mean, Confucianism is reduced to that at various points, but that's not what Confucius taught. That's not what Mencius taught. This idea of cultivation and experience, and I thought about experience. Experience is a weird thing, because you take an experienced person... if you took an experienced person and they gave you a list of the ways they did things, and then you followed that list, you wouldn't be experienced. You can't reduce experience to a list of discrete items. And one of the ways I realized this was in Kung Fu, is right after I got my orange sash, you know, right after you get your orange sash in Kung Fu, you know everything. You know, I'd been training for 6 months, and I talked to my sifu and my Kung Fu instructor, my shirfu, what a shirfu. And he's like, Matthew, you know 90% of the basic techniques I know. And so, but you don't know all the different things to do with them. And the truth is, I mean, you can take somebody, I'm just using martial arts as an example because it's great at doing this. You can take somebody with 25 years of experience, and what do they know that I don't know? They don't know any secret tricks. They don't know, like, some secret Dinmok point where they can poke you and go... and if they did, I'd like to study under that person. But I don't know, you know? When I was learning how to spar, it's like, you know, keep your hands up and keep moving, you know? I mean, but... So there's two pieces of advice.
I think, can we, like... kind of bring this back around.
Have I been talking for
here?
A while?
Yeah, we're just trying to get everybody in here. Just kind of bring it around to an end here in the next couple of minutes.
Okay. So what is experience? What is cultivation? It's not that you know an atomic piece of information that somebody else doesn't. It's that you have some insight that somebody else doesn't. You realize something about the world, and you can't just tell somebody what you've learned. They have to learn it themselves. And the way I think about it, that's why we have problems, is that you can tell somebody what to do, but they can't understand it. And people have to understand it for themselves. And that is the five ways that people think about why there are problems with how people interact with themselves and with the world. And I apologize for going over. I have a tendency to tangentize, which is why I have 477 notes. And I do apologize, honestly.
We're all related.